for you and your family.
Come to the A.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now.
800-575-2706.
Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call
800-575-2706. That's 800-575-2706.
Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits fell to its lowest level in 4 months last week, according to the latest weekly survey by the Labor Department out today. 30-year fixed-rate mortgages fell to 6.09%, says Freddie Mac. That, along with the Federal Reserve interest rate cut yesterday, being celebrated by President Biden at the Economic Club of Washington.
Interest rates are going to be coming down, and they're expected to go down further. And that's a good place for us to be.
Human remains have been found inside an SUV that investigators say hit an above-ground valve on a gas pipeline in suburban Houston, caused a fire that has burned for 4 days. They've opened a criminal investigation. Saying Hezbollah will retaliate for this week's mass bombing attack across Lebanon, the leader of the Iran-backed militant group. Expanding a nationwide hotel workers' strike, nearly 1,200 employees in Boston. This is ABC News. The San Francisco 49ers are in the vanguard.
As the 49ers fly off to L.A. to play the Rams this weekend, they're making history as the first NFL team to fly on a plane powered by sustainable aviation fuel made out of renewable materials. The United Airlines plane will be flying on what's known as SAF. Elena Giventhal is a Cal State University lecturer on the environment.
That is a step forward.
Because she says SAF can reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 85% from the time it's produced to when it's used. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Torrential rain in many parts of Europe, now forcing evacuations of about 1,000 people in northern Italy. A real-life incredible journey, a California family's cat making it home after being lost during a trip to Yellowstone. 2 months later, the cat showed up at a Sacramento shelter office named Rainbow, reunited with his family after his microchip was scanned. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Mira, Jorge, let's bring the nail gun over here.
Jose stands tall atop his sustainable flooring company.
Totally. It's renewable and moisture resistant, but we have several green options too. Or we got some beautiful reclaimed oak.
Floored by his success, he needs to hire more installers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Again, sent bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard his ear said, Maraca, senor, but his nose said, hey, freshest scent ever. Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, sir, your scent Maraca smell amazing. Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain scent beads. Try Gain scent beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Ehlin. A new AARP poll finds Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin leading Republican businessman Eric Hovde 50% to 47%. Pollster Bob Ward breaks down the age differences.
That 50 to 64-year-old age group, the younger side of older voters, is the most Republican group, and they are voting for Hovde by an 11-point margin. Baldwin is winning the senior vote by 8 points. And of course, the youngest voters are the most Democratic, and they are voting for Baldwin by a net of 20 points.
The poll finds 48% of likely voters backing Vice President Kamala Harris, 45% supporting former President Donald Trump, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's still on the ballot after dropping out of the race, at 2%. Wisconsin's infrastructure ranks among the best in the nation.
But the letter grade in a new report from the American Society of Civil Engineers is not an A. Zoe Myers is with Dane County-based JT Engineering.
The overall grade for the 2024 report card for Wisconsin's infrastructure is a C+.
The report card evaluates 17 infrastructure categories. Wisconsin was one of just three states to score a C+, the highest overall score this year. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Children ages 12 and older with sickle cell anemia are eligible for a new treatment at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin.
The newly FDA-approved treatment is called Casgevy and works by adding a gene that makes fetal hemoglobin, which reduces the clinical effects of sickle cell disease. Before this new gene therapy was approved, the typical treatment could include daily oral medication and a bone marrow transplant, in addition to transfusions, to remove excess iron from the blood. Physicians estimate that the new treatment will include a 2-month stay. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Spotty showers and some storms ramp up this afternoon and into the evening hours. Some could be strong to severe, bringing high winds and hail. Otherwise today, partly sunny and still warm, with high temperatures reaching the low 80s. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Right now, it's 74.
Wheat futures led the way to the downside. Corn was a willing follower. And despite some solid demand news for soybeans, even bean futures ended the day with fractional losses. Lean hogs were slightly higher, but man oh man, the buyers stormed back into the cattle complex with solidly higher closes.
Live, half in and half out of Ames via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Scott E. Davis from Bullpen Trading. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we are fully out of Ames now.
Fully out? So we're completely out now.
Yeah, my memories are still there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm...
You'll hold those forever, won't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, oh, yeah, I will. Yeah. But I am out of there and back in the bunker and ready to go this afternoon for the conversation with Scott Davis from Bullpen Trading. Looking forward to the conversation with Scott. Scott and I spent a few days, hours, a lot of time together. Yeah. When we were on the campus at Iowa State University. Let's just put it that way. That's probably the safest way to say it. But the farm department at WOI was our home base for several days in the late 1980s. So, late 1980s. How did that happen?
Huh? Well, and of course, I'm sure that you were, you know, involved in all sorts of hijinks and chicanery. TP in the dean's house, you know, things like that. The sled hill and the whole thing.
I didn't do any of that. I didn't do any of that. No. Stayed clear. All right. Good day in the livestock trade today. The grain markets had tough time getting any upside momentum. Wheat led the way to the downside. We'll find out from Oliver what was behind that kind of a move today. All right. Let's get to the news.
Chip wheat futures were under moderate pressure despite reports of crop damage from excessive rains in winter wheat areas of Russia. Global wheat supplies are tightening, but the lack of export demand for U.S. wheat is lowering the impact of tighter supplies. Export sales of wheat in the week ended September 12 totaled just over 246,000 metric tons. That fell short of trade expectations. December soft red winter wheat futures opened near session highs and closed near session lows, and at the lowest level since August 30. December HRW wheat futures 14 cents lower, 564 and a half. December SRW wheat down 10 and one quarter cents to 565 and a half. December spring wheat closed at 607 and three quarters, down 8¾ cents today.
Yeah, what is the old saying? If a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to hear it, does it actually make a sound? Okay. Well, it's kind of like that with wheat demand. Does Russia have a short crop if nobody else shows up to buy more U.S. wheat? That's kind of what's happening here.
Well, corn prices felt spillover pressure from losses in wheat futures. The price pressure came despite reports Ukraine's exportable supplies of corn will fall significantly from a year ago, thanks to drought. Again, until crop problems in the Black Sea region turn into more demand for U.S. grains, the impact on the market will be muted. Export sales of corn in the week ended September 12 totaled 847,000 metric tons. That's in line with trade expectations. Today, December corn futures opened...
Severe thunderstorm watch number 677, effective until 10 p.m. This watch includes the following counties in Wisconsin: Barron, Buffalo, Chippewa, Dunn, Eau Claire, Pepin, Pierce, Polk, Rusk, St. Croix, and Trempealeau. Remember, a severe thunderstorm watch means the conditions are favorable for the development of severe weather, including large hail and damaging winds in and close to the watch area. While severe weather may not be imminent, persons should remain alert for rapidly changing weather conditions and listen for later statements and possible warnings. Stay tuned to NOAA Weather Radio, commercial radio and television outlets, or internet sources for the latest severe weather information.
It was a 10:45 and one quarter. That's down a whole half cent, Chip.
Yeah, soybean oil trade is starting to pick up. December soybean oil today up 62 points, back up to 40.93.
Export sales of cotton totaled nearly 107,000 bales. That was 23% below the four-week average. But cotton futures found a way to close with solid gains. December cotton was 176 points higher today at 73.03. On your livestock's beef export sales, week ended Sep 12 of 15,500 metric tons, slightly ahead of the four-week average. Boxed beef prices were lower this morning, but movement was decent. That helped push the complex higher. October fat cattle, $1.67.5 higher at 179.97 and one half. December futures, $1.27.5 higher at 181.12.5. And October feeder futures, 382 and one half higher at 243.77.5. And on the snout side, pork export sales, 29,000 metric tons, slightly ahead of the four-week average. Resistance at 80.50 is the problem. October hogs today, 20 cents higher, 82.25. Chip?
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
I'm doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
Not too bad. You know, we keep hearing about some problems in the Black Sea region with wheat supplies, corn supplies, and neither one of those markets wanted anything to do with a rally today. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. When you back things out and take a look at it, we're really just kind of a stick in the mud here in some of these markets. Corn, you know, trading between 4 and 15, give or take. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that continue to be a trend. End of the quarterly stocks report at the end of the month. And I was looking back over the last 10 years, that report has been five up and five down. So split right down the middle for corn and actually beans as well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the market continue to chop around sideways here as we try to carve out a harvest low in some of these markets. But I think once we turn the calendar over, things might be starting to look a little bit more optimistic, knock on wood.
Okay. All right. Well, the buyers came back to the cattle complex. What happened there?
Well, yeah, yesterday it was on pause. We had the setup for a nice double bottom August 21st and September 9th. And yesterday it was on pause until the Federal Reserve meeting and the market reaction after that. And obviously, you wake up this morning, you see the S&P up 1.5%, and it continues higher through the opening bell. That's a green light for the cattle markets in a market where the funds have really just been uninterested in participating. They're net short feeder cattle and only long about 40,000 futures and options contracts in live cattle, which is a relatively neutral position for them in live cattle. So we got the outside markets rallying, and we're seeing some of that participation come back into the market in today's trade. Now, whether or not that's going to be able to continue ahead of tomorrow's cattle on feed reports going to be the big question. We're hearing kind of rumors of cash starting to firm up again, but will that cash play trade really kind of take place after the cattle on feed report, and where will it come in at? A lot of that depends on the report.
All right. Who's Nebraska got?
We got the Illini Friday Night Lights. I've got a bet with my neighbor. I've got to fly an Illini flag if they win, but I don't see that happening. So no big win.
Good stuff, Oliver. Thanks. We'll talk to you later. Oliver Sloan, Blue Line Futures. Cyclone Scott Davis, Bullpen Trading, up next.
Your needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They are engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit FirestoneAg.com.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA. And the Ad Council.
Mint can be
having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. At Chippewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy. No more. Go to ChippewaValleyEnergy.com.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis there somewhere.
Yellow.
Somewhere. Yeah. All right, let's get to the conversation. Scott Davis, Bullpen Trading, joins us right now. Scott, my gosh, great to talk to you, man. How are you?
Doing well, Chip. Good to hear that you were over visiting Ames.
Yeah. Yep. It was fun to be down there this morning, despite the heavy rains, the lightning that was hitting in Central Campus. Okay. And we were sent up in Central Campus. It was kind of a hairy situation there for a little while this morning, but we all survived it. We all got a good laugh out of it. Now, you'll have to watch some of that this weekend on U.S. Farm Report. I think they probably got a little bit of footage of all of that. So it was a crazy one, man.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it could rain anywhere anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, you could tell from here to there that it hadn't rained for about 6 weeks. Things have changed dramatically here, Scott. I don't know how well the corn and soybean crops are finishing.
I think that's a real concern, Chip. I actually was down in Ankeny, and actually I was at Ames on Saturday. I went through the Ryman Gardens, which turned out to be kind of interesting timing with Roy
right.
Ryman passing away on Sunday. But yes, went through the Ryman Gardens on Saturday, and I was surprised at how much of the crops from about the boondocks north back up here, coming back up to Rochester, really just gave it up on Sunday. Just the difference on between Saturday and Sunday. So anything that was trying to hold on just kind of let go and was shutting down pretty fast. So a lot of stress in a lot of areas after, you know, we kind of forget this year that other than about 5 weeks, we were still really dry. And we were, of course, crazy wet, you know, those 5 weeks for a lot of areas, especially up here in Minnesota. But the rest of the time, we really haven't had a good wet pattern that's lasted very long, quite some time.
Right. Right. You know, in those 5 weeks early in the season, you know, I hate to keep beating this horse, but Minnesota, I spent a lot of time or travels in Minnesota last week, and man, oh man, that's a tough looking crop.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. Not only have you got the problem of the crop having a shortage period there, but you know, prices are certainly nothing to be excited about for any of those guys too dealing with it. So really tough sledding up here this year. And, you know, there was a patch in East Central Iowa last year that, you know, missed out on the precip and those guys this year are certainly feeling better. So, you know, we moved that spot around where who gets shot, you know, who gets stuck in the barrel. And this year it's mm-hmm. Southwest Minnesota, South Central Minnesota, yeah. Northwest Iowa, North Central too. So I think there's going to be some holes up there. And I think we know a lot of that. I think the question is how big that area is when we finally get done with figuring out what acreage looks like and yield both through those areas. And you dealt with that on crop tour and you saw it probably better than anybody. But I think it finished probably even worse than you thought. Just from the guys I talked to there.
So what is at 405 and three quarters D's corn this afternoon? What is factored in? What does that represent on the supply side?
You know, I think on the supply side right now, we've got USDA's yield that, you know, the 183.6 number that they went with. I think we're probably trading that just based on what we've got for carry, based on the macro picture with where the funds are at and anticipating that big crop. And I can't argue that we aren't already doing all that. And I have some real question marks of whether we actually get all of those bushels harvested. You know, I talk with guys all over the Corn Belt, work with clients across a lot of areas here. And there's two real areas that are, quite frankly, pulling some really good early harvest stuff. And that's mostly West Central Iowa. And then east central Iowa into Illinois, right across that loin cut of the Corn Belt, and you know that's a really really critical area. But you know other areas are certainly coming up a little shorter than what they hoped, and I've heard some pretty disappointing numbers coming out of other parts of Illinois, parts of Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska. It seems to be a real mixed bag. So I'm not sure that we're going to get that you know, big crop gets bigger mentality to work this year, just because I think it was such a poor finish. The last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks just didn't have any moisture at all.
Yeah, well, in Illinois, there can't be too many bad spots if they're going to get all the way to that 222 that USDA's got in there. That's, I know it's down 3 bushels from the August estimate, but it's still an eye-popping number.
Oh, absolutely. A tremendous number and tremendous crop in a lot of places. But, you know, you kind of get into that racehorse flats area. I talked with a gentleman this morning who, you know, he says they're pulling 240 right now out of that area. And that's it's great corn, right? But that part of the country, 220 would be a disaster there.
Yeah.
And for Illinois to do, you know, the kind of number the USDA's got plugged in, they probably need to be more like 260 or 70 there. Yeah. So I've got a few question marks on that yet. I don't want to try to outthink USDA too much, but, you know, it makes me question just a little bit with what we saw on that report with ear counts and pod counts. Mm-hmm. How much of that report was still based on survey data that was sentiment driven off of farmers? And will that show up? Because a month ago right now, attitudes were really big on that crop. And we were being told repeatedly that it was going to be really, really big. And I think that showed up in seed size and ear weight as USDA made the numbers work to match the surveys. And I'm maybe I'm overthinking it, but I don't think the farmer survey attitudes will be nearly as positive today. And I think that the harvest data they can pull in October could look a little different.
Okay. All right. So the corn market is trading at 183.6 or whatever the number is. I think that's right.
Sure.
Soybeans here at 10.13 and a quarter, are they trading at 53.2?
I think we're starting to come down from there already. I think seed size has been advertised enough that the reason we're holding above 10, now we're not exactly going up a lot, but we're holding above 10 because I think we're trading something more like that 52.5. We've taken some back off. Beans is a tough breakdown. I paused trying to come up with a word there. You know, carry over a 550 and you can kind of drive a truck through the S&D tables on what you want to plug in for usage. And it doesn't seem like it even matters with carry over to 550. And then you remember that, you know, 5 years ago, or 4 years ago in the depths of the, you know, trade war, we were talking about 900 million to a billion bushels of bean carryover and prices that weren't all that much worse. Yep. So I think it becomes hard to value them, especially knowing that we've got a great big crop plugged in for South America already for the coming year. And we don't know what we're going to grow there yet either. So you got two moving targets on supply before we even talk about our next year. You've had a lot of confusion on demand. And I think you're going to continue to have a lot of uncertainty and confusion on demand because of the used cooking oil and what's happened with the soybean oil market this past year. There's a lot of moving parts to figure out which way the beans go. I think we've started to take the crop size down a little bit. The usage number is just so up in the air, really hard to give a good handle on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the usage side, it's not just the export number that's tough to get a handle on, right? I mean, we're looking at a situation with this crush number that, I mean, it could be off by 100 million bushels between now and the end of the year. And I mean, plus or minus.
Yes, yes. And we've been running plus and having to catch up on that. And then we had a questionable number this last month. It makes you wonder the other way around. But I think overall the trend has been that it's been pretty positive. The domestic demand has been quite good overall for both corn and beans. That's what's allowed us to chew through enough of the inventory to put us in this situation where we have to keep growing it. Again, beans have got a lot of uncertainty on the usage side. I think a lot more than corn. Corn's been kind of relentless growth on the usage side. In fact, you know, that's the one thing I think people have missed. I think we've really missed that quietly we have really recovered the corn demand base. If you look at 2 years ago, from 2 years ago through the end of this marketing year, corn use is going to be up about 1.3 billion bushels domestically, total, not just domestic, exports and demand. That 1.3 billion bushels uses 15 plus bushels an acre. that's real.
Yes.
And there's a reason that the people who were calling for $3 futures, you know, 3.00 futures have been wrong. And we've found a good base here at four. And that's been on the demand side. We have grown the crop. You know, we can argue about the size a little bit here from here. But, you know, a year ago right now, we were talking about a 3 billion bushel carryover potential. And in reality, we're talking about a 1.8 for actual. And the usage has been the difference. And usage is powerful.
Yeah. Great points, man. Great points. Okay, when we come back, what does it all mean for the risk management strategies on corn and soybeans? I want to go there. And then let's talk some interest rates and what's happening in the livestock trade. Scott Davis, Bullpen Trading, with me right here on AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were 14 cents lower at 564 and a half. December SRW wheat down 10 and one quarter cents to 565 and one half. December corn futures were 7 cents lower at 405 and three quarters. March corn down 6.5 cents to 424 and one quarter. November soybean futures, 0.75 cents lower at 1013 and a quarter. January beans, down 0.75 cents to 1031 and a quarter. December cotton, 176 points higher at 7303. On your livestock, October fats, 1.67 cents higher today, 179.97 and a half. October feeders, $3.82 and a half higher, 243.77 and a half. And October lean hogs today, 20 cents higher, 82.25. Try profarmer.com for more.
Are you, whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Experience all things electric during the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event with Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls North Hall. There'll be an EV showcase, test drive of electric vehicles, an EV roundtable discussion, electric tools demonstration, kids games, and more. Food and refreshments will be available. It's the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls with Pierce Pepin Co-op Services.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Spotty showers and some storms ramp up this afternoon and into the evening hours. Some could be strong to severe, bringing high winds and hail. Otherwise today, partly sunny and still warm, with high temperatures reaching the low 80s. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Right now, it's 74.
A Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Say, Chip.
Say, Davis.
You reckon Scott E. Davis is one of these guys that wears a pinking ring? I can't wear them. The bases of my pinkies. My pinky bases are too thick. It's like my pinkies are the wrong shape for a pinky ring.
Yeah.
What about you?
Scott Davis?
You wear a pinky ring
kind of guy?
Hmm?
I think you know better than that, Chip.
Davis, so I do want to explore this just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. What kind of pinky ring are you attempting to wear?
Well, the song is put those pinky rings up in the air and something about 24 carats and they're sparkling. Yeah. I don't know. It all sounds very exciting and a little confusing to me.
I'm more of a fan of having my gold on my portfolio rather than in my pinky ring.
I was going to say, it takes a guy like Scott Davis to afford gold these days.
hello. All right, welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Got Scott Davis. So, Scotty, all-time highs in gold. We've got an interest rate cut. No, we're going to come back to that because I don't want to lose track of where I was, and I would if I did that. What is it? Everything that we talked about in the last segment, what does it mean for corn and soybean marketing strategies?
Okay. So like we talked on, I think the demand base on corn has been sleepy good. I think people have talked about it a little bit. I think it kind of got lost with how big the crop is this year, but the demand is keeping up. Say the crop eases back a little bit on yield, we're going to be flat basically on carry, rounding error of 100 million bushels. That's without production cuts in Brazil or Argentina, depending on weather there and all that kind of stuff. That said, you know, a month ago we were hearing about how the solution for every farmer is you must sell the carry, must sell the carry. You got to sell the next 3 years' crops. You got to push this all the time. The last time I heard this much about automatically selling the carry for a farmer and how that was going to be the way to survive was back in 2019 and 2020. And I think we have to be really careful about assuming that blindly selling the carry works in this case. It's the lifeblood for grain merchandisers. Don't get me wrong. And they're the guys who are usually telling you to do it. And it is critical to capture those cents that we're talking about. But for farmers, they've got to worry about dollars, not just cents. A grain merchandiser can live off that 6 or 12 cents they carry, carry they capture, because they don't have production risk. Farmers got to live off $4 or $5 corn and $10 or $12 beans. It's a whole different game. So you can't just go on autopilot and assume that you can just sell the carry and come out ahead. This is the time of year where we have to make good decisions on what our local storage situation is and basis. Hopefully you've got a little bit marketed ahead. Certainly not enough compared to what we'd like to be, I'm sure. I don't know anybody who's oversold for this current year at a price that they'd like to. So make sure you got a home for that crop, or make sure you can re-own it if you need to, in ways that you can manage the risk on in the paper side of things. The hard part about a carry market is that if you go to re-own something and you blindly pay that carry, then you're behind the eight ball. So there's a lot of moving parts to every strategy this year. Don't just blindly assume you can go in and I'm just going to sell March corn and I'm going to call it good, because this is below the cost of production for most of these guys. We can't just lock in that loss and defend it. So we got to have flexible strategies. We're not going to lock in that price for sure. And I think that's really critical. It comes down to a one-on-one, how much risk you can manage. And then as we talk about 25, because at some point we got to start looking forward. At 25, that's where capturing that carry, selling something early, can really work for you, because you are getting paid and you aren't even have to pay storage yet. So that's where you look at that premium structure that's out there, and you look at being able to say, okay, what price can I not let go away? What price do I have to capture? And we haven't talked about wheat, but I'm running numbers for guys on soft red wheat already, to the point where some cases that wheat, believe it or not, at this price level starts to make sense. and can maybe even pick up a few acres in spots in the soft red winter wheat country. So don't just plant it. Make sure you're pricing something too. But stay flexible this year. Don't assume that what you've got today is all it can do.
So good. Good stuff, man. Preach that flexibility. That's something that I've been trying to push through and push, get into everybody's mind that you've got to maintain some flexibility, whether it's in the cash grain or using some futures and options to manage risk down the line. So good stuff, buddy.
So, you know, there's so many things. I'm going to touch just a little bit more on that if you can.
Yeah.
There's so many things that have changed so violently in the last 5 years that I don't think you can just close your eyes and say that you know exactly what's going to happen here. 5 years ago, we hadn't heard of COVID yet. Interest rates were being tightened. Strong economy. Then we shut down the world. Take things to zero for interest rates. Total disruption to all our normal patterns. Printed money like it mad. Triggered inflation. Aggressive M2 growth. Massive government spending. Fed then finally started to normalize interest rates too late. You know, we'd already had inflation. Kept rates higher longer than we thought was possible for a year. Waited until job growth slowed, inflation's eased, and now they're going to start cutting rates again. I run through that little list there because I have to remember everything that's happened in a very short window of time. And that's just the macro stuff with interest rates and the general economy. Ag has had even more stuff with trade wars and everything else. This has been a crazy time, and I don't think the next 5 years is going to be any less crazy.
Yeah. So, okay, now you piqued my interest. The next 5 years aren't going to be any less. That, to me, signals you've got to, if you haven't developed a marketing attitude that includes some flexibility, you better do it for going forward because you're going to need it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think you have to. I think you have to make sure that you're trying to get yourself in a stronger financial position to withstand whatever comes your way. But you also have to be financially or marketing-wise very flexible to deal with this uncertainty. You know, the U.S. has become kind of the producer of, or supplier of last resort, unfortunately, on a number of crops, which means that on wheat, for example, the world supply situation looks tight, yet we can't seem to move enough product out the door because Russia is supplying everything at a discount price. Well, the day that changes and the world starts to beat a path to our door, wheat could rally $2 on nothing just because we catch up with where it could have been if Russia hadn't been depressing the market. So a lot of variability coming our way. And that's, you know, we can benefit by being the storehouse of grain for the world. We just have to make sure we're managing our risk in that part of it.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Gold makes new high. Interest rates coming down. Dow was the last time I checked, it's still about 550 points higher. NASDAQ 450 higher. S&P 100 higher. Cattle higher. Is the inflation trade back?
Certainly, we're trying to trade it like it's coming back. And you know, then you have the people saying that, you know, this is an echo of the 70s and they're going to cut too much too soon and we go back to that full inflation. I've got a lot of questions on how they measure interest rates when one of the biggest drops in inflation that we've seen in the government data has been in health insurance, because I'll tell you, I haven't seen my health insurance payments go down. But, you know, I think there's certainly some of that trade is coming back on that idea that you've got, you know, an inflation trade with the Fed cutting and that the inflation will restart. That would lead to the argument that you would have a then more aggressive rate hike later that kills that inflation beast completely like it did back, you know, with the last go around. Hopefully that's not what we see. We've got a lot of moving parts coming up, even with the election. Now, neither party has shown any fiscal discipline, let's say that right off the bat. But I think you could see a tremendously different market and a tremendously different Fed response depending on which party ends up winning, because one side wants to have a lot less regulation and more aggressive growth, and the other side wants to have a much more managed economy. And how that happens is going to make a real big difference what the Fed has to do. So I think the Fed made the move it needed to based on the revision to jobs growth. Is it magically going to change the inflation picture? Not this one thing. It'll be more if we have a regime of rate cuts. And I don't know how quick they're going to go from here. So we'll have to see. The gold trade, I just mentioned that. I don't know where else you store money at the moment. I'm not a Bitcoin guy, and I'm not going to go down that path regulatory-wise. But this is part of what we're seeing. People are afraid. And you got a tremendous amount of cash on the sidelines and a lot of uncertainty.
Yep.
And what happens with all of these other stores of wealth and other currency options is really, really big. One thing I didn't touch on earlier with the beans is that the real right now is as strong as it's been since June. The Brazilian real makes a big, big difference on what we have for expansion down there this coming year. And, you know, USDA has got a big crop plugged in for them. We'll see if they do it. So a lot of moving parts, a lot of flexibility demanded on a whole lot of issues, financially, marketing wise, you name it. This is, Chip, you and I got about a decade left in our careers here, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, this could be a really interesting decade, don't you think?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, the last, as you very, very, well defined or described the past 5 years, been some unprecedented times. I got a feeling that we're going to be able to have this conversation again next year and next year and next year.
Considering the growth in the debt, I'm sure we will. Absolutely.
Yes. Yep. No doubt. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Scott Davis, Bullpen Trading. Always enjoy those conversations with Scott. All right. Davis and I will be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk.
John Legend here. How do I keep my protection against COVID-19 up to date? With a COVID shot this season.
You can get your COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC. Ask your healthcare provider and book at VaxAssist.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And all for less than $30 a month when you get four lines. And the best part? We give you a free Samsung Galaxy A54 5G when you switch to the Total 5G Plus Unlimited plan. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here. I'm furrowing over my notes right now. Chip Flory, that was a good conversation with old Scott Davis, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Here, we'll go here. Because we talked about this yesterday, and then he brought it up. You're going to want to keep an eye on local storage / local basis coming up here on Harvest. We went through some of this stuff. Well, I believe it was yesterday that we talked about it. And here we are back again talking about the same thing. Feels like a pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about it this morning, as well with Bobby Martins from Iowa State, right. Yep. Talking about some of the logistics issues and what it might mean for the basis markets as we go forward. The bottom line yesterday was you don't want to be last of the game this time around. It just feels like if you've got bushels that need to move before you get to harvest, you'd rather be at the front of the line than the back of the line on this one, because once that commercial storage gets full, the Mississippi isn't running at full capacity. There's some rail issues out there that we've got to keep in mind. Port issues I know that we're not talking about the dock workers at the bulk loading facilities going on strike, but one thing that we need to remember is that sometimes the union workers like to show sympathy for other unions that are on strike, and that could be shown many different ways, but I'm telling you this, it ain't by getting more work done than what was getting done before.
Yeah,
so
that's absolutely
could slow
right.
things down even further.
Yep. Spent a fair amount of time talking about blindly selling the carry, just sort of putting it on autopilot. Yeah, isn't going to
really
work
good.
Today. The danger is that you wind up locking in a loss. You lock in a price below your cost of production. And then that's a whole mess. Flexibility. We talk about flexibility all the time.
All the time.
Talk about that. When he's talking about putting it on autopilot, can you just define that for us? What did he mean by that?
Well,
catch us
because,
all up.
And hey, we've heard it on here on AgriTalk that Sell the carry and then manage the risk after that with futures and options. And it's the flexibility side, managing the risk after that with futures and options, that makes it okay with me to say, all right, let's go ahead and sell the carry. Well, the point that Scott was making is that there was a time that if you sold the carry, if you went 2 months, you were sorry that you did because the inflation play was underway and was lifting prices. So, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the negative narrative that's in the corn and soybean markets right now. But you look out at that May contract at 435, yeah, it's at a 30-cent carry to the Dease, but what if you sell it at 435 and by the time we get to May, the bid is then 480, 490. Yeah. Okay? You're leaving money on the table by selling that carry. So if you do that, and I'm not saying you just, you know, you got to sell the carry and immediately replace it with a long futures or a long call position. I'm not saying that. But you do have to be willing to get back on board if the markets show us that the inflation play is back on, for example.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Let me jump the tracks just a little bit. I've heard inputs prices come up a few times in conversation, and there are a few decliners here of note in USDA's biweekly cost of production report. Now, these numbers were released on September 6th. We'll get fresh numbers tomorrow afternoon, and I feel like this is interesting. It'll be a worthwhile exercise because I've got anhydrous ammonia in Iowa down $10.27 to $7.1240. But I look down here at MAP. Monoammonium phosphate in Iowa down $21. Potash down $45 in Iowa, $5.16.20. Diesel right now in Iowa averages $2.84. I'm going to flip over to Illinois, and we've got some similar things. Anhydrous down about $8. Let me see, look down here. Yes, there's liquid nitrogen. UAN 32% is down $26. And then urea unchanged there, $2.96.
What are some of those nitrogen prices?
Nitrogen prices, we're looking at anhydrous ammonia in Illinois, $669.04. We go down to 28% is $349.89, call it $350. And there's 32% at $314. Even urea comes in $535.60. Some weird stuff going on in urea, the China exports. There are some production curtailments. And so I don't know if the market quite knows what to do with global urea prices right now. But I bring this up because prices do appear to be headed lower, or at least they did as of September 6th. Mm-hmm. But Chip, as you and I both know, tomorrow's a brand new day. And, if there's one word that we've learned to spell in our news copy, it's volatility. And so I just wanted to get a little check here. And I'm fascinated to see what happens tomorrow. I'll let you know. Because if we pop sharply higher, whoo, boy, look out for fall prices. I'm kind of hoping we stay about right where we are, or even maybe, fingers crossed, go a little bit lower. I don't know. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. Gotcha. We'll hit it just real quick.
I would like to see those prices go a little higher with Dease 25 at 445 and three quarters on today's close. Let's get this futures, the corn price up. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook September 25th through the 29th. Above normal temperatures expected over the entire country. The lower 48, okay? Below normal precipitation, Wisconsin, Northwest Ohio, Northern Missouri, and points to the west and north of that. Jump out to the 8 to 14 day. This is for September 27th through October 3rd. Above normal temperatures expected over all of the lower 48. And then we move that line of below normal precipitation a little bit to the east. Western Michigan, far northwest Indiana, northern Illinois, and points to the west and north of that, looking at below normal precipitation. All right, man, we are into the home stretch now. We've got the free-for-all coming your way tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. Conversation with Kirk Kimmel from AgMarket.net here on AgriTalk.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Locally and globally,